Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that is arguably responsible for some of the largest, driving some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country, I also kind of feel like I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled. And then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building or something. But deplatforming works and it is important. And there you go. Good things can happen.
Welcome back to another episode of Our Interesting Times. It's my pleasure to have Donald Jeffries back on the show. Of course, Donald is an independent researcher, best-selling author, whose books include On Borrowed Fame, Money, Mysteries, and Corruption in the Entertainment World, and Bullyocracy, How the Social Hierarchy Enables Bullies to Rule Schools, Workplaces, and Society at Large. You also have a new book coming out soon, in like a week or so?
Yeah, probably a week or two. It's going to be on my book on COVID, Masking the Truth, How COVID-19 Destroyed Civil Liberties and Shut Down the World.
Excellent. And that's, I guess we're looking, what, a May release of that, I guess?
Probably. It depends on how quick they can get it out there. So I'll be talking to them. But just got the foreword in by Sherry Tenpenny. So very excited about it.
Excellent. Yeah. So, we'll set something up. We can talk about that when the time comes.
Sure.
So also your work, you have a Substack page?
Yeah, that's where I'm promoting that more than anything now because I'm shadow banned everywhere else. I mean, it's still try me on Twitter, but they just limit my followers, and Facebook's useless because they block everything unless it's, you know, some light and fluffy thing. They just don't let people see it. So, but Substack, at least for now, is working, and that's the only place I'm growing. And that's donaldjeffries.substack.com. It's I protest just the same as my live streaming Friday show on Rockfin and YouTube.
Okay, great. So tonight I have you on. We can talk about some current events. Of course, this week the big news was Tucker Carlson, his ouster from Fox News. Apparently he was blindsided by this, whatever the real story is behind this. And maybe perhaps some other things going on, like the, RFK candidacy. I mean, you've written a lot about the Kennedy assassination or Kennedy assassinations. Mm-hmm. Might be more than people think. It might be as many as three.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so according to some researchers. Yeah. And of course, there was RFK's appearance. I think, was it his second to last show that he appeared on the Tucker Carlson show?
I think so. Yeah. It was right there in the end. Yep.
So that might have been the, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back.
Well, RFK lost his largest platform, because I don't think anybody else is going to have him on. So I admit to being a Kennedy fanboy still. You know, when RFK was, his dad was running for president, that was my political awakening. I was 11 years old, and mm-hmm. I first started following politics then. I understood the primaries. I was following his path to the primaries. I knew about delegates, all that stuff. And I was crushed when he was shot. I kind of thought maybe he would be, even though I didn't really understand why at that point. Because I was buying into the fatalism that the Kennedys are doomed and all that, the curse and everything, which was already starting. And So, and I remember, you know, listening to Teddy's, it was still, I still think is the finest, Teddy Kennedy's finest moment. And the greatest eulogy I've ever seen delivered. You know, that was a wonderful eulogy he delivered for his brother. And just very moved by it. And so here is his son is running for president. You know, you're talking about over 50 years later. And it's he's saying, you know, he's not perfect. I mean, there's a lot of things that I don't understand on climate change, the stuff he said about jailing people. He's never repudiated that. And he really should. Mm-hmm. But he's saying he's the closest one to telling the truth on COVID and the vaccines in general. His Children's Defense Fund does a lot of good work. He's out there talking and saying the government killed his father and his uncle. I mean, there's never been a presidential candidate ever since it happened that was doing that. He's pretty good on the he sounds good about the neocon wars and wondering why we're there. And has talked about bringing the troops home like Donald Trump did. So just on those issues alone. He's not good on immigration and some of the things, but you know, there's nothing perfect. There's no perfect. And so right now he has my vote. If he should somehow magically get a nomination, which I doubt very seriously, but I wish him luck. I think he's got a lot of guts to be doing it, but he's, as I said, you know, my article about Tucker, it's the same kind of thing with RFK Jr. I run into a lot of criticism and a lot of rolled eyes in my community, the alt media, because they don't think RFK Jr. is legitimate. They don't think Alex Jones is legitimate. They don't think Tucker Carlson is legitimate. So they think all these people are controlled oppositions or paid government agents. And so it's, I'm more trusting that, I guess. I don't know why. I know that they're, you know, oppositions, controlled opposition is everywhere. It has been for a long time, you know, back into where, you know, Lenin was the one who said the best way to defeat the opposition is to lead it. Mm-hmm. And our government has done that, you know, throughout its history. So it's obvious there. It's just, I don't think we can prove who is and who isn't. And so I take everybody at face value until proven otherwise. When Tucker Carlson was on the air, it was the only show I watched on television. It's the only news show, regular news show that I ever have watched in my life regularly. I was a regular viewer of that. It was that good to me. I agreed with, you know, 99% of everything he said. I mean, he was spot on in what he was doing. So if he was controlled opposition or if he was a PSYOP, he was a good one. And millions of people were hearing undeniable truth. And so I think Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if he just talks about vaccines and bringing the troops home, our disastrous foreign policy, and he said some, you know, survival of the richest type things, you know, I wrote that book, and he was talking about how much money we spent on Ukraine and how it dwarfs the budget of the CDC, and how, you know, you're talking about spending this kind of money out there and how many people are starving and how many people are living paycheck to paycheck, the same kind of stuff I wrote about. Mm-hmm. And so it's a question of where you direct the resources. So I obviously that appeals to me. So we'll see what happens. But I think he'll at least make the campaign a lot more interesting.
Yeah, his father actually campaigned on poverty in Appalachia. So his father actually expressed concern over poor white people. There actually are poor white people in the United States.
The Kennedys were the only.
Yeah.
John actually visited them first when he ran for president. But Bobby, Bobby Kennedy's, you can see RFK Jr. is kind of doing that. He was the last president to make eradicating poverty really like a focus of his campaign. And we should be doing that. Now we're talking about a phony war on poverty like Lyndon Johnson's, who just created more poverty. But he was talking about, and he didn't, although, you know, obviously a lot of the poverty disproportionately was black even then, he did visit the poor whites in Appalachia and was photographed with them, with his arms around them and, you know, walking up and looking at their, you know, little wooden shacks. It's the last politician that's been there. So I think maybe Bobby Jr. will visit. I don't know. But I think obviously that appeals to me because, you know, I talk all the time about the issue is class and not race.
Well, he talks about how the COVID lockdown, the trillions of transfers of wealth, how trillions were spent to create 500 new billionaires at the expense of the middle class.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I write a little bit about that in Masking the Truth, the book that's coming up. And we really can't even gauge exactly the extent of it. Ron Paul called it the greatest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the elite in the history of the world. And we can only guess at it. You know, we it did create a bunch of new billionaires, and just the way that small businesses were shut down and large chain stores were allowed to stay open while selling the same products. And again, the dumbed down American people never questioned it. I used to try to tell people, I said, you know what, do you understand? Why do you think when you're looking on the news, why this small shop owner, why are they being threatened with prosecution? And some chain store selling the exact same products is allowed to stay open to you. And they give you a blank look because that's the narrative that's being presented to them. But it's the, obviously COVID was full of that kind of inconsistencies, but yeah, just the disparity of wealth increased. There's no question. I wrote Survival of the Richest, I think in 2017, the original hardback. And in the 6 years, it certainly hasn't gotten any better. And I would say probably at that time, it was the bottom 50% of Americans made less than $27,000 a year. I imagine that's grown because who knows how many more millions of illegal immigrants have come in at the very bottom and widened that 50% that has nothing. So it's we're just, you know, obviously you look around you and we're turning into the world's wealthiest banana republic.
Mm-hmm. We see it all around us with the corruption, the rampant corruption that goes reported on, but there's never any legal action or anything done a bit to deal with it. Especially if you're on the right side of the political spectrum now. It's interesting. Robert F. Kennedy today I think came out and said, I have a headline here. RFK red-pilled on climate agenda. RFK declares climate being exploited by the World Economic Forum and Bill Gates. so he's expecting some sophistication on that issue. I know he came out with some articles and some hysterical stuff that he wrote maybe 15 years ago regarding climate change. But maybe perhaps the whole COVID thing and the vaccine thing was a portal for him to kind of see. We all have these moments that we're enlightened see what's going on, that we can see the bigger picture, what's going on. Even at an advanced age in your 50s and 60s, it can happen, although it's much harder.
It is. But I mean, I think that, you know, when people in our world, especially when they question this stuff, like Tucker Carlson couldn't possibly be legitimate because of the way he grew up and when he wore a bow tie and, you know, he ridiculed 9/11 truthers and all that. But you can see he evolved in his thinking. Was he started to be influenced by his friendship with Alex Jones, by talking to people like Bobby Kennedy? Bobby Kennedy himself, was he influenced by people that, you know, he has so many connections that I have, like Sherry Tenpenny and Naomi Wolf. Was he being around Naomi Wolf herself? I mean, she told me, you know, when she married her husband, who's a real gun enthusiast, and he changed her dramatically.
Yes.
You can see, you look at her thinking, she came out strongly for the Second Amendment. If you read her early stuff, obviously she would have. So does that mean she's compromised? I don't think so. I think that people can grow. And you have to, like I said, if you don't think people can change, and I would be shocked if Robert F. Kennedy doesn't feel differently now than he did about climate change. But he was an environmental activist and a lawyer. And I understand that because I consider myself an environmentalist, but the people today are not environmentalists. They don't care about they didn't say anything. Now, I would like to see Bobby Kennedy go to East Palestine, Ohio. That would have been a good move when nobody else did. And I'd like to hear him talk about the BP oil spill because nobody else is talking about it. That's the kind of stuff they should be talking about, but they don't say anything. The Greta Thunbergs of the world are silent on that. Instead, they're trying to lecture people like us. You know, don't use too much hot water. Why are you eating meat? Why do you need to drive a car? Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff. They want you to lower your standard of living. You don't need a house. Live in this bunk bed like they do in China. That's what the message is over and over again. So I don't think he believes that. And I think his thinking has really evolved. I mean, just on the assassinations as well, that, you know, that's just come along in the last maybe 5 to 10 years. And maybe he just didn't look at it before. It was too close to home. So I give people the benefit of the doubt, but I don't just automatically think that they're disinfo agents. You know, somebody like Alex Jones woke up a lot of people and he was talking. I mean, I was on InfoWars back when Hidden History was published. I was on there one time. So he had me on. He sold Hidden History. He sold hundreds of copies of that in his bookstore, InfoWars bookstore. So does that mean I'm compromised? I mean, I don't understand this kind of thinking. He's had Ray Griffin I always get him mixed up with the other group. He's been on my show. Edgar Ray Griffin has been on on my show a couple times, 90 some years old, still sharp as a tack. And he was talking about him today, about all the times
Edward G. Griffin.
Edward G. Griffin. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Featured from Jekyll Island. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I've got an autographed copy that's sitting next to me when he sent me, but I really should remember his name, should I? But a great, wonderful guy. And
you were so, confusing with
the other Griffin, the guy that died, the
David Ray Griffin. Yeah.
Yeah. Gregory, yeah. So it's Edgar, yeah. Yeah. So yeah. they're both in the same kind of, but G.R. Griffin's still alive, still going strong. And,
He's incredibly lucid for his age. I mean,
it's amazing.
I heard him interviewed and he's a little older, but he's still quick. And yeah.
Oh, he was one of the, God bless him. My audience loved him. He was one of the best guys.
Yeah, that's a great book. I read that book. The way it was well put together, written. There's like a section, a synopsis or a summary section of each chapter. So it's a very enjoyable book. Yeah, he doesn't cover everything. A lot of people said he doesn't cover everything. It's every right. No, just that no one covers everything.
Right, you know. But if you look at Alex Jones, had people like that. He had back in the day, especially. You talk about Oklahoma City, which I've covered in my writings a lot. Nobody talks about that anymore. Alex Jones was the only place those people, Ben Parton and all these people that were investigating it, Charles Key, who I've interviewed on my show a couple of times, but they were that was the only big platform they had. Alex, just like with Sandy Hook, which of course came back to bite him, and it is questionable what happened there.
Yeah, can talk. Well, yeah, also the litigation, which has some reverberation, because I think Fox News fell into a lawfare trap, the same way Alex Jones did, yeah.
And this is becoming, you know, unfortunately, the new way of dealing with these woke identity politics. It's not enough to get people fired or canceled. Now they want to take and prosecute them in court. And because the system has been the legal system was always horrible and corrupt, but it is beyond belief now. It is it's unfathomable how bad it is, the kind of injustice that happens now. And when people can be prosecuted, in Alex Jones's case, he was prosecuted for expressing his opinion about a widely reported event, and that he should have been allowed to present that defense. He claims that he couldn't present that defense. I don't know. He had awful lawyers like Trump does, and you know, all these people do. And I don't know why that is, but regardless, symbolically, that set a horrible precedent, because it allowed a politicized TikTok judge. And she was like a TikTok judge, you know, all the LGBTQ stuff and all that. So when Alex Jones walks in that courtroom, do you think he has any chance at justice with a judge like that? I mean, this is, I don't know what kind of chance a black guy had in Mississippi in the 1930s that was accused of looking at a white girl, but I imagine it's about that level, maybe, you know, so people that were concerned about that kind of,
have you seen those videos of Senator Kennedy from Louisiana asking basic law questions of the various?
Yes. And it's embarrassing. It really is. So
what does Article 2 deal with in the Constitution? Yeah. You know, and these things, they can't answer these questions. These are the type of federal judges, you know.
Yeah.
And even the ones that, even like the ones that Trump appointed, like this guy, Timothy J. Kelly, who's presiding over the Proud Boys. Yeah. He came from the office that is prosecuting the case.
And with a name like that.
Timothy J. Kelly. Yeah. Julie Kelly's covering that, and he's allowed the FBI to destroy evidence to violate attorney-client privilege. Mm-hmm. The defendants have been in jail for more than 2 years prior to the trial, probably solitary confinement, which is
unbelievable.
Yeah. That's torture, psychological torture. Mm-hmm. That's how you get people to plea out, right? Mm-hmm. You get 95% conviction rate. But just all of these people simply have no regard, you know, for due process of the law anymore, and they can wage lawfare on this. Apparently, you know, you had the $787 million settlement with Fox News over the what was the name of the company again?
Dominion,
which I mean, I remember for 15, 16 years I've been hearing about black box voting and companies. What was that, Diebold or something? It was
Dominion bought Diebold out, so they're basically their part. And but that's one I question because I've found that BlackRock actually owns stock in Dominion, but they also own stock in Fox News. So were they essentially suing themselves? I mean, I do not believe for a moment that $787 million was. I think this was a symbolic thing. And just as I, you know, obviously Alex Jones couldn't get his hands on a trillion if he wanted to, but symbolically, our culture, our civilization said that when Johnson & Johnson killed who knows how many people with their talcum powder, they had to pay $206 billion. So you mean to tell me Alex Jones, what he had to pay was like three times that? That so he, what he did by questioning the Sandy Hook narrative was the greatest crime, civil crime or whatever, in the history of this country, because it has the largest payout supposedly. So it's, what does it say symbolically? And so now you see Fox News with this, I think, charade of a thing, because they just basically sued themselves, it looks like. But now they're talking about this absurd Abby Grossberg coming in, and who's, you know, basically she's describing a work culture like most of the work environments I ever worked at in my life.
You know, well, so, she's claiming sexism and anti-Semitism because they had a picture of Nancy Pelosi in a bathing suit.
Right.
By the way, she waltzed into that office with that already there. So she's a new employee. And then she claims anti-Semitism because there are Christmas decorations.
That's what I said.
Someone called her a Grinch. She's complaining. So this Jewish woman walks into someone's office and complains that their Christmas decorations. Now, when I hear someone named Amy Grossberg complaining about sexism and anti-Semitism, I roll my eyes. And it turns out that's justified. Anti-Semitism is that basically they weren't singing the praises of the ADL or talking about the Holocaust every day or something.
Right.
And also just Christmas decorations.
That's anti-Semitic, I guess. I mean, but our society, because we've lost, we've utterly lost. That's why I resent so much when somebody like Tucker Carlson, if he's controlled opposition, he did a damn good job of it. When somebody who's one of the few voices of sanity we have, that have a large platform, people in our world go after him, and they do this all the time. And
they hired someone named Amy Grossberg.
Yes.
Is that indication that they're anti-Semitic? Apparently, they weren't anti-Semitic enough because they shouldn't have hired her.
No, and Tucker, exactly.
I mean, it's like,
yeah, you know, with a name like Grossberg, you know, you're that's going to be a card.
They weren't even in the same office, but Tucker's in Florida. She's up in New York or Washington.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is absurd. But the problem is, again, that.
I saw her interview on MSNBC.
Yeah, I saw her too. Yeah.
You see, she goes, and I thought Tucker was just putting on a show. And to my dismay, it wasn't. He's actually like this. That's actually her. You mean he's not a complete fraud?
Yeah.
Well, he's not just putting on a show. It's like, that's your complaint that he's, and what you're saying is he's too genuine for your taste.
I watch Tucker regularly. I don't think I ever heard him mention Jews. He almost never talked about Israel. So you could say that he's kind of like Alex Jones, where he didn't go.
Wait a second. I have here.
Oh, you have. Oh, he did talk about the ADL. That was powerful.
Who is this? Who is this guy again from the ADL? Yeah, Jonathan Greenblatt.
Yes, he definitely went after
him. It's about time. Far too long. Tucker Carlson has used his primetime show to spew anti-Semitic, racist, xenophobic, anti-LGBTQ hate millions. ADL has long called for his firing for this and many other offenses, including spreading the Great Replacement Theory.
Yeah, and and he didn't mention Jews in that at all. He talked about I've written about that myself. And anybody that looks at our immigration policy, that looks at the anti-white policies of every institution in this country, both in the corporate world and the government, and thinks there's not an anti-white policy, we have whites, millions of white people that have been brainwashed to cheer it and hate whites. I mean, I've tried to talk to a few of these people. I said, you do realize you're white, right? I mean, do you hate yourself? Do you hate your family? And they just give you a blank look. They just want to spout the rhetoric that they've heard. And so for anybody to deny the Great Replacement Theory, I mean, just turn on a television commercial.
Well, it's great if you like it. If you're skeptical of it, it's a crazy conspiracy theory.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And here's the thing. There's an admission here basically if you're defending traditional morality or just logic or natural law or want to defend the country's borders, you're anti-Semitic. So what that means is, Jews, particularly organized Jewry, or these organizations, are behind that then, because basically their interpretation of anti-Semitism is being against those things. Therefore, against those things, you're anti-Semitic, so Jews must be for these things. Just like when I think the ADL, I think he also called Trump xenophobic and anti-Semitic.
Which is really ridiculous.
I know, it is ridiculous, but I'm saying just the rhetoric. You know, they don't know how to control themselves. You know, but he was saying by – Trump calling out people who are unpatriotic, traitors, globalists.
You mean like they do?
Like
calling us terrorists and well, Russian bots?
No, the idea was that if you're calling out globalists,
yeah.
Traitors and war, no, yeah, warmongers and globalism is a is a code word for Jews. They're right. So, I mean, they're, you know, the guilty flee when none pursueth, as the Bible says.
So you associate yourselves with war. Right? I mean, I've heard that before. Where they called, you know, and Henry Ford, even before he wrote The International Jew, when he was the number one, the most vocal anti-war activist in World War One. He tried. I wrote about this in Crimes and Cover-Ups. He financed a peace ship, a peace yacht or something. And he tried to invite all, you know, the leaders to, and of course nobody would come. And he wanted to, let's go down, let's have a cruise, let's have fun, let's try to avoid this. He was called anti-Semitic. And I remember writing at the time saying, so what is it? He, at that time, he, I don't think he was talking about Jews really. No. But so what does that mean? So does it, the Jews, because if you're anti-war, you're anti, so that means Jews are pro-war? What does that mean? It's like when I remember when black people complained about the last King Kong movie, or more likely Jewish groups complained for them.
Yeah.
But and they were, and I was saying, what? Wait a minute. What is it? So do blacks think they look like King Kong? I don't understand what, because nobody said it. What does that even mean? I mean, what are you talking about? So you can't represent a giant ape because people are going to think it's racist? What? But that's the kind of madness you get, and there's nobody that talks sense on the other side. But here, Tucker Carlson was he never, other than it was very bold that he attacked the ADL, and I wrote, you know, not many people go after the ADL and live to fight another day. So that may be an overlooked reason why he's no longer in the air. But to tell Trump, I mean, Trump was the most pro-Israel president ever. He's got streets named after him in Israel. That's just totally ridiculous.
Yeah, it just shows basically Trump, you know, served his purpose, was gone. They were going to do that. There's no gratitude with those people.
No, because they kind of go together. If they're going to say you're racist, xenophobic, I guess anti-war is in there now too. But you are somehow anti-Semitic. But yeah, it's, you know, those are all, you know, being anti-war is always a good thing. And you can see now they're basically doing that. Although Israel doesn't seem to have a stake in this Ukrainian thing, I don't think, but. For whatever reason, it's they attack people, which is hilarious that they talk about calling people names who are not patriotic. I mean, that's exactly what they do. They call Russian bots. They call Putin's bitches. I mean, they call all these things they have that you're insurrectionists, obviously, domestic terrorists. I mean, they have so many names that are that dwarf anything the right has ever made up for them. So these people are just, we're in a spiritual battle, Tim. I've said many times, and this is a battle between good and evil. You have to realize that the other side is evil. This is not just a political disagreement we're having. When you have people, the entire organized structure of the country, corporate world, every single organ in the corporate world is at least as woke as NPR or any other part of the government, at least as woke. Every single one of them, you can be fired anywhere in this country for simply saying only women can have babies. That's insanity, and it's evil. And when you're having mothers and the medical establishment supporting it that are mutilating really little children, cutting little girls' breasts off and leaving them with Frankenstein scars, cutting little boys' penises off, and basically creating eunuchs and... What is this all about, Tim? It all serves the eugenicist purpose because it stops procreation. And everything they're doing, from that and from killing people with the vaccine and killing women's reproductive organs and killing testosterone levels, all that has happened since the vaccine as well, all adds up to fewer children, and especially fewer white children. And that's has been their goal for, you know, over a century.
Yeah, yeah. Tucker Carlson, just the weekend before his being ousted, mentioned that at the keynote address at the Heritage Foundation, the 50th anniversary gala, where he said, you know, it's America's today is a spiritual, the battle is spiritual, it's not political, it's between good and evil. And can, you know, he said it's not a political movement, it's evil, Carlson proclaimed, but the left's agenda. He characterized the side of evil as violent, hateful, disordered, divisive, unorganized, and filthy. He also admitted that Well, he also recommended praying, and he said that that's me as an Episcopalian, you know. But he said that conventional politics doesn't really deal with this. So we're dealing with a, it's more of a spiritual theological conflict than it is political, although it spreads into the political realm. And he says when you have a Janet Yellen, when you have the Treasury Secretary saying get an abortion because it's good for the economy, that's we're getting into Aztec level here, Aztec level, human sacrifice. It's not, again, it is something that means that that normal political process, he said, when he started at Heritage, he thought that if you just marshal enough information, you could make the better argument and win, because that's all it took. That's sort of that, he says, it was sort of an Anglo-American presumption, mm-hmm. how society functions, the marketplace of ideas. Well, it's obvious the marketplace of ideas doesn't determine who gets a show, because his was a top-rated show, and now he's gone for other reasons. Could be money, because BlackRock, I think, increased its position and ownership of Fox, and perhaps with him gone, they'll get conventional, sponsors on the show. But the fact that corporate America sort of blackballed him for his material, even though his material resonated with a lot of people. I mean, Fox News is always kind of, let's face it, Fox News was created by Rupert Murdoch. He's no conservative. He's sort of a business. He realized there was a niche in the late 90s for this type of thing, and he created it. He hired Roger Ailes, a conservative, and they hired a bunch of models, some newsmen, and some models, so they could tell us about things with twinkles in their eye, as Don Henley said. Tell us about the car crest, the twinkle in her eye. And you have pretty babes who come across as conservative, and so it was all marketing. So it's not no surprise there. But it turns out, again, between the law affair with the Dominion case, and also sort of with the with corporate America going this, you mentioned corporate America pushing all this woke stuff, this wokey dokey crazy insanity stuff with the transgenderism, and all the degeneracy. Why is that? And if you look at something like BlackRock or Vanguard or State Street, these huge hedge funds or institutional investment houses that control trillions in assets, as much as more than half of the world's GDP wealth, 17, like $27 trillion. And you have someone like Larry Fink, and the head of BlackRock, who's talked about using their control of assets to change the world above and beyond government. So now these corporations are governing institutions, and they're, of course, they're in bed with government, because they're in bed with the New York Fed. And I think it was BlackRock that got like $6 or $7 trillion to play with because of COVID. Mm-hmm. That there's a lot of leverage there, a lot of wealth that you can position yourself into control, buy people and bribe people. There was a recent study by the Claremont Institute that exposed that Black Lives Matter and other associated leftist organizations have received $82 billion in recent years. $82 billion. That's a war chest. And how this happens, how is all this? It's not just emergent behavior or social contagion. It is at a certain level. But at the top, it's being engineered. Of course, those organizations and foundations that are pushing the transgenderism, well, you can name them. They have names. Some of them are governors, at least their families are governors of states like the Pritzkers. A lot of these are overwhelmingly Jewish, by the way, pushing this stuff. And these they fund the NGOs, the think tanks, research, and they donate hundreds of millions of dollars to medical institutions. That's how you get this Frankenstein monster ghoulish research. They're bribing doctors to do this with funding, and they're directing the research, the education. They're funding curriculum programs in schools, so they're grooming kids in schools. And again, you do the research, the names, the Pritzker family is a big family. They're the ones that installed Barack Obama, created Barack Obama out of Illinois. Something like a corporation will go this way because BlackRock or State Street or Vanguard, through their buying stock, can control who sits on the board. And they can say, or they can make a position, move against your company if the company doesn't back this, endorse this, or doesn't do what they want. And so here's an example: is why would someone like Bud Light pick Dylan Mulvaney to promote their product?
Exactly.
Well, there's something, there's a group called the Human Rights Campaign Fund. And they visit the corporation and they say, hey, you should do this or else. And they have $1 trillion backing with BlackRock, because BlackRock is involved in ESG, environmental social governance. and they fund this organization. And what they can do, if they don't do what the Human Rights Campaign Fund wants, they'll BlackRock will move against them, and they'll lose capital. They'll lose their capital value. And so they'll install members on the board. BlackRock has said they want ExxonMobil to get out of the oil industry. What?
Yeah.
What is that? That's what it does. That's how this is happening. So there's a structure to it, and they give money. The Black Lives Matter has received hundreds of millions of dollars, and other organizations like George. Of course, many people know about George Soros and his funding of like district attorneys. Sure. Now this is terrorist activity. If we had a sovereign government, would go after these companies, seize mm-hmm. their assets, and put the people who run this their asses in jail for this.
Right. Well, no. they're just. What's happening at all levels, Tim, is just incredible. And you just look at somebody like Soros, where you see these politicized, these Alvin Bragg types mm-hmm. that are just, a complete affirmative action candidate. I don't know what his qualifications would be other than that. But this guy is, he doesn't remotely, well, I would say they don't know the law, but they know the new law. They knew the woke law, and the new woke law is whatever, it's all built around emotion and not reason. And so you can politicize, and that's what I'm scared is going to happen in the wake of Tucker. If he gets sued by this Abby Grossberg, it opens the door pretty much to any conservative anywhere being, or any traditional man, because if they're saying it's a toxic work environment where you can't comment on women, I don't know where you've worked, but my God, you're working around a bunch of guys and you're not going to talk about women's looks. Maybe they don't now. I don't know what the hell they talk about, but I know that. That's what we did for decades, and I didn't know anybody who didn't.
You say women cannot be subject to derisive humor?
It's not like we ever did it to their faces, really. I mean, we would just say like, hey, somebody's hot, or I'd like to do this. That's just what guys do. But apparently guys don't do that anymore. They're not allowed to do it anymore. And if you can have some person who doesn't believe in Christmas running around, it's not like she tore down a nativity scene. She was going around unplugging Christmas lights, so pretty lights offend you, really? That should be Fox News or somebody. The board say, I'm sorry, you're out of line here. You don't have the right to go around. We put these lights up, and you call them holiday lights to shut her up. But we put these lights up. This is festive. It's got nothing to do with offending your religion. That's ridiculous.
But it's obviously so narcissistic on her part, neurotic. And the fact that she's not embarrassed by it says a lot.
No, but that, and again, that's if you look at especially young women like that, if you look at young white women, if you look at their this mentality they have, they are so, I don't say it's entitled. They're the woke aspect of their personality where they're almost like a tiger that's waiting the bushes to strike on their prey.
Do you have a right not to be offended?
Yeah, they're
that's
they're,
not a realist expectation in life. And first of all, it makes you simply don't. No one wants to work with you because through the course of the day, there are times when you may take offense or feel slighted, or you may be insulted. It's called coping mechanisms. Basically, not everything's a federal case. And this speaks to the problem of these laws they've passed over the past 50 so-called civil rights laws.
Right.
Where they've created just an industry of constant litigation, and they keep expanding the definition, of course, of your rights to the point where you have a right not to be offended, which makes basically working with you impossible because it's subjective in the eye of the offendee,
Yeah, exactly. You can't have law built around emotions, and that's what they're trying to do. Identity politics is emotion instead of reason, and people
don't hire women.
Right. Well, yeah, there you go. My favorite person in the alt media right now is Jason Whitlock. I don't know if you ever watch him or not.
He's good. He's on Tucker. He was on Tucker too.
Yeah, he was on Tucker, but he's got his own Fearless podcast. I promote that to anybody. And this is a black guy. He says things that I've never heard any white person say on television. He calls that black ghetto culture. He talks about everything, and he will raise the Jewish question a lot. You can see that. And he was talking yesterday about how it's not racist to not want interracial marriage, and how his parents, would have killed him if he came home with a white girl and stuff. I mean, this is, and I know from working with hundreds and hundreds of blacks over the years when I was a blue collar worker, I know that's what they feel. And they have a right to feel that way.
I have no problem with that. I have no problem. It's you're talking about destroying a culture and an ethnicity.
Yes.
You know, what you're saying is that in the name of diversity, everything has to be destroyed and be the same. Right. That's the end. That is the end point. By the way, there is such, blacks are against miscegenation too.
Yes, exactly. No. And that's So it's yeah. But it's only a problem if whites do it. Yeah. And there are almost no whites that would have the balls to say, I don't believe in interracial marriage at this point. So, but it's he has mostly black guests on it. And he has this woman who has a really strong Southern accent. Her name's like Shamika or something, but she is, she's really got an intellect to her. And she always talks about the time, you know, I'm not racist. I tell people I'm not racist, but my bed is. And, you know, that's a clever way of saying it, you know, that she only wants, her own race. And I admire people that do that. And he's very spiritual as well. He talks about, he's always talking about the Bible. He's very religious. And he says it's a spiritual battle all the time. So people can check that. I hope it grows because, again, there's a void where Tucker was. And again, I know there's a lot of people out there that think he was fake, but I said, you know, why do you concentrate on him? And I hear this all the time. I don't see you guys like bad mouthing Joy Reid and these awful, awful, you know, horrible, vile people. Mm-hmm. And you just ignore them. And I've seen this stuff in the JFK assassination research community for decades, where it's the same kind of thing where you have these researchers that supposedly believe in conspiracy that they'll go after all the witnesses that presented evidence of conspiracy. And they'll look in their lives and investigate. And I said, you know, I don't understand. Why do you concentrate on them? You're trying to discredit them. What, you don't do anything to discredit the lone nut. Well, there really aren't any lone nut witnesses. It's all, you know, but still they don't. And it's the same kind of thing you see here where they go after, instead of going after the awful, the Anderson Cooper, you know, recruited at the CIA in college, Operation Mockingbird. They don't go after, Joe Scarborough. This is a guy who had and Tucker, you know, I should have mentioned that in my article. Tucker would wink at the camera and he would mention whenever he'd show a clip of Scarborough, he'd say, yeah, you know all about, I know you know all about murder, don't you?
Yes, but the dead woman in his office, yes.
Yes, because the woman.
25-year-old assistant that is found dead.
Yeah, so, you know, people in the alt media, I tried to investigate it. It's not easy, but I think I was the first one to write about it since it happened in Hidden History, and nobody's written about it since. And I got a hold of her sister's, she works as a principal or something at a school, and I left a message for her. Of course, she never called me, but I tried. But, you know, these guys, they waste so much time on saying, Tucker Carlson's father worked for the CIA, he did this and that, he used to wear a bow tie. You know, it's like, what? So why don't you spend that time on something productive? Like Joe Scarborough, there's a guy that was a congressman. It was a pretty good congressman, really. He was one of the better ones. I don't know what happened to him. He was like a right-wing populist when he was in Congress.
they found a dead girl in his bed.
Well, yeah. Well, he had already mysteriously claimed he wasn't getting
there was on. Something, we all know with Jeffrey Epstein how this works. Mm-hmm. How it may work. I'm not saying I know, but I'm saying these are people who become blackmailed and they become compromised and they're bribed and they're given some sinecure at MSNBC to talk nonsense in the morning.
Right.
With Misha Brzezinski.
Yeah, with Brzezinski's daughter. I mean, I would imagine he hated Brzezinski back in the day. But so again, people, how about that transformation? You're questioning a transformation from, and as I said, whatever Tucker Carlson was, he was just kind of a non-entity. I don't think he did anything. He wasn't a Joy Reid or he wasn't spouting out. He was just kind of a typical mainstream conservative. And
yeah, he was on Crossfire.
Yeah, I mean,
he was at MSNBC for back when they used to have
it was on CNN because I heard somebody talk about, you know, he was friends with Don Lemon. Well, he worked with the guy for years. I doubt I don't know how friendly he was to him, but on the air, certainly he just ripped him a new one all the time, calling him, referring to him as Don Lemon. So now more people say Don Lemon instead of Don Lemon.
Yeah.
And that's all because of Tucker. And so I can't believe that was that much of an intricate act, but he made a transformation from basically just kind of a bland mainstream conservative, grew up entitled. Everybody can see that. But most of these guys grew up entitled. They all, I talked about that in Survival of the Richest. Very few of them come from even working class. And he,
Tucker admits that. He doesn't try to.
Yeah, and he admits it. Yeah. And they ridicule him saying that. It's like, well, I don't understand. He sounds sincere to me. What do you want him to say? Well, he's just
Reverse snobbery, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I yeah, exactly. And I hear, you know, I've already got
poor man snobbery.
Yes, exactly. There, you know, and I've already gotten comments, you know, on the article from people. Oh, Fox News would have, I've heard over Fox News would have never allowed him on the air if he wasn't compromised. Well, okay, well, but that said, but if that's the case, that oh, maybe you're right. Then why did they fire him? Because now they're, you know, they're crown jewel, and false opposition doesn't have that platform. Why would they get rid of him? So, I don't know. Like I said, I just take people. What he said sounded great to me, and you know, I judge people by what they say. Like when DeSantis, I know DeSantis's background, a lot of things about him. I've seen him at the Wailing Wall, and he wanted to make anti-Semitism a crime in Florida. I understand that, but he's done some pretty decent things in terms of the vaccine. And race politics, critical race theory. I mean, and unlike Trump, he actually passed a few bills, and he stood up to Alvin Bragg in New York and said, "I think your lawsuit is dubious, so I'm not going to honor any extradition requests." And of course, Trump, being the actor he is, didn't stay in Florida protected by DeSantis. Instead, he goes to New York because he's a fake.
Well, there are cameras.
Yeah, and there were cameras.
He can't. He can't. It's like, you know, it's like drawn to light. He can't help.
Yeah, he's like a moth to the light. Yeah,
it's, and we'll be in headlines for a while. This is going to boost fundraising.
Yeah, yeah,
and it did
exactly. But I mean, so DeSantis, I don't know much about him, but I do know he did a few good things when any of the Freedom Caucus Republicans. I mean, yeah, there are a lot of things I don't agree with them on, but sometimes they do some good things. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who gets ridiculed all the time, I think she seems pretty genuine to me, and she's the only one that seems to have any balls. She's the only one that speaks out constantly for the January 6th prisoners and makes an issue out of that. And
yeah, she defended Jack Teixeira, the leaker, Pentagon leaker.
Yeah, yeah, and that was really big. I wrote about that in the one before.
But he's white and he's Christian.
Yes, exactly.
Who I don't know. It? I mean, to talk to me, I mean, I'm sure the ADL came out and said, "What do you mean he's Christian? That must mean you must hate Jews."
Exactly. What do you mean he's white? You know, what do you?
He's white.
Yeah.
No.
But I mean that was so. But yeah. Again, people in my world, especially, I can tell you, they mostly hate Marjorie Taylor Greene. They hated Tucker Carlson. They hate Alex Jones, who a lot of them were woken up by Alex Jones, and they'll admit it. But it's like I said, okay, look, you know, okay, I understand he's got issues too. And I really question what he did with the Sandy Hook stuff and the unnecessary apologizing for Pizzagate. Yeah, he's a hell of an entertainer, and he drew people. The basic gist of what he's reporting is he's reporting on the corruption of our leaders and how bad things are. And that's a good thing. But, you know, people just, well, he's not, because he's not doing this or not doing that. Okay, I understand that. Yes, he said Saudi Arabia runs Hollywood. Okay, that's about as ridiculous as it gets. Okay, I understand that.
But it's the Chinese.
Yeah, it's the Chinese, yeah. So but he clearly is not going to talk about Israel.
Well, apparently he had all the right enemies. You know, Trump had the same thing. All the right people hate him. So, okay. So you kind of reflexively defend them in many ways. You're forced to do that.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. Good riddance. Pentagon officials cheer Tucker Carlson's ouster.
Oh, shocking.
Isn't the Pentagon supposed to be apolitical?
Yeah, no, not anymore. They're not.
Apparently, at the upper levels of the Defense Department, news of Carlson's firing from Fox News was met with delight and outright glee in some corners. What does it tell people when the corrupt military industrial complex is glad that Tucker Carlson
And who cheer? Who's the last time you had the girls on the Glee, the shrews on the Glee, who got together and they were singing "Na Na Hey Hey Goodbye"?
Okay, so they're 12.
Yeah, exactly.
Emotionally 12-year-old.
Well, that's where they're at. That's where.
AOC saying was it? It's like a Marvel movie. Like her cultural references are Marvel movies.
Yeah, Marvel movies, and you see the hand of evil. Like even though he's gone, it could. So he's the hand of evil, and you're good, huh?
Yeah. Or Chucky Schumer, right? Tucker Carlson, you know, outrageous lies in his show with the all he did was show the video of the January 6th and narrate what was going on. And that's a lie, apparently, show the video.
Oh, it actually happened. And again, when that happened, I argued with everyone, including the alt media. They didn't think it was good enough. And I said, look, he's the only one that's showing it. And obviously they pulled the plug on him after two nights because it was supposed to be all week. And Chucky Schumer said to Rupert Murdoch, how do you let them do this? Well, obviously they pulled the plug. I think that was probably the beginning of the end. So I'm sure he was really bitter about that. And uh, he, uh, And they obviously couldn't have been happy when he said the CIA killed JFK on TV. And again, JFK groups, I said, look, okay, yeah, I've known the government killed him since the 1970s, you know, as a teenager. But this is long after the fact, but there's nobody else on television that has ever said it. He's the only one. I'm telling you, I've been studying this stuff since the mid-70s. And nobody on network TV has ever said the government, matter-of-factly, the government killed Kennedy. And he said it more than once. And
well, a lot of things people don't realize, this is what they think is, you know, they don't know the man, right? So they say, I know he's controlled, so they can just throw that out there not knowing him.
Yeah, yeah.
That you don't know, you suspect, and we all should suspect. We all should say, okay, I have my suspicions.
Yeah.
But, you know, they said something like his dad was CIA and all that. Well, again, a lot of people don't do that, make that observation without any understanding of what actually the intelligence community is. It's not monolithic. And if you in and around the D.C. area, you can't help but work in it.
Of course.
It's just the way it is. You're in the industry.
It's a company town, right? Yeah,
I
have relatives that work the CIA. Because you know, it's a huge employer and it's in my county.
Yes, huge. Same with FBI and all these government employees, just the way Northern Virginia is, the beltway, that area.
Yeah.
Now, he grew up, now Tucker talks about this. He grew up in this environment. I mean, he was friends with Hunter Biden growing up. So, you know, and one thing, you know, if you're in the Northern Virginia area and you know politicians' kids, usually they're all screwed up.
Yep. Yes, they are.
That was my impression when I was growing up in the area.
Yep.
But the thing is, you know, Tucker Carlson's father for U.S. Information Agency, then the Voice of America. He was working with, say, during the Cold War and all that stuff. So he grew up in that milieu, if you will. So that's just his outlook on things. Mm-hmm. And so he's a libertarian right winger and, you know, working at Heritage. And again, he's talking about how just ideas. And if you just have the best ideas and we can implement these policies. Like anything, he's grown up and he's kind of been exposed to how the world really works. And obviously, if you're well paid, the higher up you are, the more stake you have in the current system and the more resistant you are going to be to realizing that the system is corrupt. Perhaps Tucker in his late 40s and 50s came upon this realization slowly. Like he's talking about, like he had Gerald Posner on his show talking about, you know.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Before Yeah.
And all of a sudden, then a few years later, he's talking about how the CIA killed Kennedy. Well, that's quite a difference.
Right.
So, there was a time, if you asked me when I was in my 30s about the Kennedy assassination, I go, it's probably a low nut. That's just people idolizing the Kennedys. Damn it, I'm a Republican. Those Kennedys are dirty Democrats. But as I got older and started looking, understanding, you know, the false left-right paradigm, actually, it's kind of funny. I have this quirk in me when my opinion changes when the information justifies the change.
There you go. Yeah.
These events. You know, my values don't change. My assessment of certain historical narratives change. You know, that's, you know, and so these things do change. They can have a profound effect because it can have a sort of a paradigm shattering experience, you know. Now, you know, I'm Catholic. I believe in God. So the fact that the realization that a government or a country is corrupt doesn't shatter my paradigm. There's something beyond that.
Right.
Now, I get a sense. I don't know. It could be that Tucker Carlson is just an incredible method actor. And he's fooling us all. That's a possibility.
Sure.
I'm saying from an epistemological standpoint, you don't know. You suspect. Right. So when you say you know this, when I read in the comments, I know this, you do not know this. That's a lie. You think it. And I understand the suspicion. What I'm saying is when I'm seeing Tucker Carlson give a speech on aesthetics or giving a speech on the importance of aesthetics and architecture, like he's in Hungary. Mm-hmm. And he's describing the importance of tradition, Hungary, and these things. When I see him giving a talk about, we're reached a point now where conventional politics doesn't address what we're dealing with something evil here. He's expressing that he's had a sort of realization.
Yes, he had an epiphany.
He may be doubting himself right now. That could be all fake. You know, that could be all fake. It could be, you know, multidimensional chess, psychological warfare, PSYOP, controlled opposition. But again, within this huge community, we're in a freaking empire, and empires have all this going on at the same time, especially as they begin to collapse, and that's what we're experiencing now. So people within that system are going to start saying, wait a second, something really wrong here. What I've been told isn't exactly the case, and I have a TV show. Now, he had the show for 6 years. Maybe within that six-year period, his views changed because things have accelerated greatly since Trump was elected. Right.
Absolutely. And that's why I said, how can you said how you've changed.
I
was really flaming left-wing radical when I was young. I still have a lot of those classic civil libertarian beliefs, but then I started getting really far right-wing on a lot of issues because I read Nundinger Tolle Conspiracy by Gary Allen.
Yeah.
And lots of books like that that I learned about the CFR and trilateral.
By the way, Nundinger Tolle Conspiracy is a great explanation.
Yes.
That's 1971,
yes.
70, for today's ESG and BlackRock. And
yeah.
Why these corporations, the naked capitalist is there's another book called The Naked Capitalist,
which
is the same thing. Why are these corporations now, which for one time were culturally conservative, pushing consumerism, are now pushing all this green stuff? Because they're trying to impose a new economic order on us.
Right. So these books, so people, you can, and Tucker Carlson's, he had, like I said, there was like 2 degrees between me and him as to being on his show. His producer had Survival of the Richest. Myself and my publicist went back and forth with them. I just never got on there, but it was close. And, so many people that I'm connected to, Heather McDonald was one of his regular guests. She was on my show. Naomi Wolf is kind of a friend. She wrote the foreword to my book. She's been on there, obviously, many times. Cheryl Atkinson is kind of a friend. She's been on my shows. She was a regular guest on Tucker. John Katsimatis, who was on, he invited me on his show. He's been on Tucker. Tons of people like that. So Alex Stein, primetime Alex Stein, he was on my show. He was on Tucker. So he's been on Alex. He's been on all those shows. So I'm connected to these people. So if they're all psyops or whatever, and let's say Tucker, I kept telling people, I said, look, I'm close. And I have a personal reason to really be disappointed that he's off the air, because I thought there was a good chance of getting on there. I thought he would be interested in my COVID book because he had Alex Berenson on.
Mm-hmm.
He had lots of the doctors. He had a lot of the doctors I've talked to, McCullough, people like that. He had them on his show. And not to mention Naomi Wolf, who was talking more and more about this. So is RFHK Jr. I thought maybe I have a chance to get on a show because I think he would have liked it. So I was... Of course, it just wasn't out there yet, but I told people, if I get invited on a show, does that discredit me? Or what does that say about him that he's giving me a platform? You guys like me. You think I'm the real deal. So same thing when I was interviewed on InfoWars Nightly News. They didn't stop me from saying whatever, and they talked about my book. I mean, same thing when, people, like some people think Ron Paul's not, legitimate. Ron Paul wrote the foreword to one of my books. I mean, he endorsed my view of Lincoln and the Confederacy and World War II atrocities on the Allied side. He, by putting his name on it, he endorsed it. So Naomi Wolf endorsed Survival of the Richest. So these are, what does that mean? Does that mean if they're paying attention to somebody like me and you guys think I'm legitimate, why are they doing that? So I think we judge, judge not lest you be judged. I, of course, we're all guilty of, doing that. We're talking about awful people like Gates and people like that, but Fauci, these were Biden, the worst people in the world, these woke Democrats. But basically, I take everything because until you prove otherwise, I'm going to assume you're legitimate. I'm assuming Alex Jones is what he says he is. I'm assuming Tucker Carlson is what he says he is. I'm assuming Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is what he says is, until proven otherwise. If I get, direct evidence, then of course, then I'm going to say, hey, this guy's a phony and I can prove it, but I can't do it. I just prefer, and for a cynical guy who thinks everything's a conspiracy, and I do, my wife always says, I don't understand you, because I'm way more trusting of people than like she is even. And it's I don't know what it is. I just have an instinctive trust of people, even though I know how messed up a lot of them are. And I think everything's so corrupt. So that's when I'm looking at these people, maybe they're just great actors and they're fooling me, but I just think it's foolish, like you said, to say, you know this. You can say, okay, this is suspicious and this and this and that, but pay attention to what they're saying. Alex Jones has put a lot of great information out there. He put the Bohemian Grove on the map. Nobody knew much about that until he said it. And I remember myself, I had talked about, hey, there's these before Alex Jones snuck inside there and filmed it. I used to tell my family that was their favorite thing. They go, oh, you're so crazy. Oh, my God. Now you're talking about a giant owl and people are our leaders are worshiping them. And then when he snuck in there and filmed it, but then you still have, and including people in the alt media, oh, they would have never let, you think they did? They didn't know he was sneaking, and they let him do that. And I said, okay, all right, I just give up. You know, it's like, well, I don't know why they wanted to advertise that. Walter Cronkite was the voice of the owl for decades and things like that. But you know, but it was good evidence for what I've been saying. It still didn't matter to my family because they're not going to believe in anything no matter what. But it was something I'd say, hey, you know, there's a video of this now. What I said, there is a giant owl there. You can see it. And so he was responsible. He was responsible for when
the cremation of care, sir.
Yeah. When you have 9/11 and
yes, I became aware of the Building 6 thing through watching Alex Jones videos.
Yeah, exactly. 9/11, yeah. The Road to Tyranny was a great early video, and he did a great. And he, I didn't learn that much from him because again, I've been in this world for forever. But I learned some of these things were new to me. And one of the things that, and I've wrote about him in Bullyocracy was these stage shooting drills. And he was talking about these in the early 2000s. And those are very important. And nobody else was talking about him. He was showing the neighborhoods where they would come in neighborhoods and the cops and the army and stare these terrifying drills and scare the neighbors. And of course, even more terrifying, the drills at school.
Yeah.
They would involve it. And so that's why I said, when people, when talk about Sandy Hook or any other shooting and you say, oh, that's crazy. You say, well, look, they stage fake shootings all the time.
I was talking to a lady one time, was at her house for work. And she said, yeah, my kid today was at school. My two kids were at school today. And she was in a kind of well-to-do suburban area going to a local public school. And says, yeah, they had a drill, a lockdown drill. Mm-hmm. And they didn't tell the kids it was a drill.
No, they don't tell them. I said,
they do this routinely. It says, well, it doesn't happen too often, but part of the drill is not telling them it's a drill.
Yeah.
So you scare the hell out of the kids?
Traumatized? Yeah. I mean, they think there's a shooter there.
And I said, he came home terrified. And I said, do the kids feel safer now?
Yeah. But this is happening. It's been happening. Yeah. In schools all across the country for a couple of decades.
Well, that goes
now.
Back to the Cold War. Remember the where you get under your desk, right?
Duck and cover.
Duck and cover, right?
But that was like mild fear porn. But when you have when you hire an actor,
yes,
and they hire actors, and these are crisis, and people say crisis actors, they used to have a crisisactors.org. They got rid of the website because people found it.
About 10 years ago, I remember what was the name of the company, and they had these real live fake wounds and fake all the stuff.
Yes, and they have fake blood there, fake victims. EMT personnel on our tax dime goes to these fake shootings and treats fake victims. The police get involved. I wrote all about it in Bullyocracy, and I kind of coupled it because of what's going on in the schools. But so for people that say, you're crazy to say this, your government does this all the time.
Well, psychological warfare. They have a psychological warfare planning committee.
Yes.
Cy War doctrine. I remember it was, what's his name? The guy who wrote, he was Mr. X.
Oh, Fletcher Prouty.
Prouty talked about in his book, The Secret Team, how Latin America, there were CIA-related teams, but they were maybe work with locals, but they'd go in and they'd stage fake shootouts in villages.
Yeah.
And they'd have fake deaths, fake victims, and just to terrorize the community. And the same thing like in the Philippines, they do the same thing in the Philippines. Ed Lansdale's, I think, did this, where they had
a lot of people think was walking around Dealey Plaza, dude.
Yeah. They do fake vampires.
Yeah,
they have this creature where they exsanguinate someone and put like bite marks on them, so the local people, because there was a local superstition about vampire creatures.
Sure.
And they do this, so they play on the local superstitions and all these things and exploit people and exploit those things. And the same thing could apply to Americans with a psychological warfare. Obviously, in relation to the Kennedy assassination, this was released in the year 2000, the Northwoods document, which Tucker Carlson actually mentioned in one of his documentaries.
And he did. And Bobby Kennedy Jr. recently talked about Operation Northwoods in a camp. Yeah. I mean, and for those of you who don't know, that was you talk about a PSYOP. They talked about fake, or it was unclear how much was going to be fake and real, but they talked about plane crashes, shootings, murders. Early 1960s, Kennedy, JFK, one of the many ways he signed his death warrant, said, that's insane. I'm not going for it.
Yeah.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted it. But so they were thinking of doing that kind of crazy stuff even then. So again, it's in their mind. So for us today to look at some of these real irregularities around these schools.
Well, the BBC, remember the BBC had a very good thing on Gladio.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the BBC doing this. And, and you know, what it exposed with the false flag terrorism. Mm-hmm. In Europe, particularly Italy, but there was in Germany, there was a mall shooting in the Netherlands.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
You know, so that's a shooting. That's a mass shooting. So these things occur all around the world. It's strategy of tension.
No, it absolutely is.
But to suggest that these things may go on again, I don't think it's a subject to someone to be sued into bankruptcy just because you talk about it. I don't know. See how you can. Oh, I don't know. I mean, good examples. New York Times was proven. The New York Times did defame Sarah Palin knowingly,
right?
And they lost. Sarah Palin lost that case, even though.
Sure.
So you're allowed to do that, but apparently you can't cast aspersions on a multi-billion-dollar company.
That's who you are. I mean, the Supreme Court ruled not that long ago after, you know, so people don't know about the police. The Supreme Court has ruled three times that the police have no obligation to protect the public. So they're not there to protect you. And the Supreme Court told them they're not there to protect you. But when I lost my train of thought because you said Sarah Palin. The New York Times. Oh, yeah. When the New York Times said, what was it? The New York Times won this about Sarah Palin, right?
Yeah.
So, what was my point going to be? But it was about, again, how the court is there. They're not there to do anything reasonable. And that's why the Supreme Court, if you look at the decisions that the Trump court has made over and over again, except for Roe versus Wade, which was an outlier. And I think was preordained. They wanted that to happen to create more controversy because it conflicts with every other issue, every other decision that Supreme Court has made. Two of the three Trump appointees, Gorsuch has been pretty good. The other two, Kavanaugh and especially Amy Coney Barrett, have been ridiculous. And they voted the other way almost all the time. So they have not, especially with anything with election fraud. So they're the court usually almost always rules against the interests of the people, and it goes back. And again, that was another Supreme Court decision. I was trying to
Texas ruling regarding the election.
No, it was when I mentioned about protect and serve. Oh, something else to do with the police. What else? I know what it was. Yeah, they have ruled in recent years that the police can use the excuse of ignorance of the law.
Yeah,
but a citizen can't.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in for. I mean, can you? I mean, that is in your face tyranny when you have the highest court in the land saying cops, whose job it is to enforce the law, don't have to know it, but you, who's obviously you're not going to know all the myriad of laws we have, you have to. I mean, you can't plead ignorance of the law. I mean, as I remember, last time I think I got it was stopped by a cop. I was. Driving home, and this cop pulled me over for no reason on a three or four lane, I guess, highway. And I said, what's up? And he said, you didn't see him. And apparently he had been on the side of the road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so he said, you didn't move over. And, you know, there's a new law about protecting officer safety. And I said, what? I can't. And he gave me a ticket. It's like, I said, I've never heard of such thing as, everybody I've been given tickets to says the same thing. It's like, okay. And I said, well, if I had wanted to move over, I couldn't because there was traffic to the left. I mean, so that's the kind of thing where it doesn't matter. That's the law. And, but if they don't know the law, they don't have. So that's everything that we are encountering today from top to bottom. And if people listen to my I Protest show, I don't know if you've listened to it or not, but I've been concentrating more and more on municipal corruption, local corruption, and the stuff that people are going through all across the country, whether it's, unfair convictions of their loved ones or just being harassed by local law enforcement, people who are just child protective services, especially that, you know, parents on there that had their kids taken. And I had Megan Walsh, John Walsh's daughter, on last week. Is one of my best shows. She was just really powerful. She's really in our world. I mean, she knew everything about the Martin Preschool, Franklin Credit scandal. She was unbelievable. And, she has had her kids taken away because of the power of her dad, who has connections and all this, you know, Mr. America's Most Wanted. And I can see why, the way she's speaking out about this stuff. But Child Protective Services, you know, killed the woman. Was it Nancy Schaefer back in Georgia?
Well, that was because she was investigating child pictures as child trafficking, human trafficking.
Right. And that's what Megan was talking about, that these kids are trafficking.
Her husband, there was a murder-suicide, allegedly, right?
Yes. And I talked about it in Hidden History. And yeah, definitely, there's no question that
they tried to say it because they're underwater on their house or something, they committed suicide.
Yeah.
Really?
Very religious people, lots of children, grandchildren. No, they were very happy, and they obviously were killed. But that's so something like that. That's how deep the corruption is. And I try to remind people all the time, it's not just Congress, it's not just the president, it's not just these national organizations. The corruption is deep. It's all so you see the local school boards.
Mm-hmm.
You see the mayor's office, you see Child Protective Services, you see the charities, things like that. The corruption is everywhere, and people are silenced from being canceled to killed when they reveal anything about any of this stuff.
Well, look what happened to Seth Rich.
Yes, yeah. What was that? Yeah.
The DNC is very, very serious, but who gets the nomination?
And his parents will sue you. His parents will sue you if you question. So what does that tell you, that they don't want to know what happened to their kid? And they'll sue. I mean, it's one thing I could maybe understand if you're coming on and you're saying he was a horrible person. He was really corrupt and, you know, he was killed because he was a mafia hitman or something. I don't know. But people are, you know, basically coming at it like he was a victim. He knew too much. And why would you be unreceptive to hearing that, especially when the police never even attempted to solve it?
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. And there was nothing stolen. It was, they said it was an aborted burglar or nothing was stolen. Kind of like the Starbucks murder, if you remember back in the Clinton years,
mm-hmm.
where they killed those people because they were trying to silence a former White House intern. I talked all about
one of them had the misfortune of sharing the initials of Monica Lewinsky or something like that. Or
yes. It was Mary. It was Mary's, but I have a whole story about it in Hidden History. Cause I tried to track down that poor black petty criminal. He's kind of like a black James Earl Ray that they ended up blaming for it. And they threw him down the rabbit hole, and he disappeared in the system. But
yeah, they tried to do the same thing with Mary Meyer, right? Way back in the 64.
Yeah, and you know, Mary Meyer, that's a good book written by Peter Janney. Mary's Mosaic, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Good book, published by Skyhorse, my primary publisher. And there's a guy, his father was a big CIA official, and he talks about it openly about how, you know, so he saw the corruption up hand. So does that discredit him? I don't know. I mean,
isn't the type of thing you're going to get in real life, the system of the children, perhaps, of these people are going to know something and say something, and they're going to be a little different than the father. Same way that the Kennedy sons were different than Joseph Kennedy. Joseph Kennedy had established the family fortune with somewhat armed resistance from organized crime and all that in the 20s.
Right.
But they grew up as scions of the family's wealth, and so they had the luxury of maybe being idealist.
Right.
more idealist. Obviously, they're playing the political game, and you know, they're men of power. But some of the anecdotes here about Robert Kennedy are very amusing. Like when he showed up at the office of J. Edgar Hoover with a dog, said, "This is my dog, and he hates fags."
Oh, I never heard that. Right.
Or when the Kennedys worked to kick the Jewish mafia out of Kentucky. This might have played in their, you know, to their eventual demise. It's one element to the JFK assassination. Robert, the Jewish angle to the JFK assassination, Robert Kennedy assassination, was very interesting.
Oh yeah, there was a guy, Michael Collins Piper, who wrote Final Judgment back in the day, and it was again smeared by my research community, the JFK research. And I tried to, I contacted and communicated with him a few times before he died, very young, of a heart disease supposedly. Mm-hmm. But he very brilliant guy, and I said, I think you're gonna have a lot to offer. Why don't you come on these forums? And he said, no. He claimed he had been on one before, and they harassed him, and he didn't want to deal with that. And the thing is, now it's come full circle. Years later, a lot of these researchers talk about JFK's letters, heated letters with David Ben-Gurion,
mm-hmm.
before he died, because he was very concerned about Israel's nuclear weapons program. And Kennedy was pissed off, and he wanted it to stop. And so now they openly mention it. But I always try to say, hey, you know, this all came from the work of Michael Collins Piper. They just ignore that. It's like he's anti-Semitic, but you're not.
Was it Robert Kennedy? Well, by simply pointing out that there's the Mossad or the Israeli government is engaging in espionage, blackmail, even assassination, right. Things that all governments do, by the way.
Right.
Only because it happens to be a Jewish state, now it's anti-Semitic.
Right. And again, right? That's a card. And that's why I really resent that Abby Grossberg.
Yes.
I mean, it's just so. The game is whether it's racism or anti. It's just, and I understand that maybe if I was a Jew or a black, I might, if I know that card is there, it's like a get out of jail free card, and I have it in my arsenal to use. I'm not saying I would be above using it. I don't know, but I think it's ridiculous that it's allowed to be thrown around. Because what happens is like, then racism, because everything is racist, nothing is racist. We've talked about that. And it goes to the same thing as anti-Semitic. If it's anti-Semitic to have Christmas lights up, and you call them holiday lights, they're not even, you know, again, it's not religiously themed. That is ridiculous. And again, the Jews are a fraction of the population, so the non-Jews there should be able to say, "I'm sorry, you're uncomfortable around lights. You know, if you want to have a, what we can do is you can bring in a."
Blame your parents for coming here in the 1890s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you can bring it. Yeah. What do you call it? Great grandparents. You can bring a menorah in, and you can put it there and have it lit too. And I guarantee you, none of the Christians will be offended by it because they don't care. Okay, this is a light of menorah. Wow. Oh my gosh, my faith is shaken. You know what am I going to do? It's anti-Catholic, but you know you. But that's the problem is nobody fights back. And that's the problem with all this stuff. And that's what was really, I think, appeared to be great about Tucker is that he did fight back. He's the only one I've seen way more than Alex Jones. Alex Jones constantly tries to curry favor with blacks. And basically any black guy that calls up that has like an Ebonics voice, Alex almost offer him a job every time. He's so excited to have a black listener. He used to be more. Now he's got a lot more black fans. But back in the day, it was ridiculous. I said, oh,
well, problem, yeah, and your generation, my generation really too, is the worst thing to be accused of is being racist because of the civil rights narrative, right? The racial narrative, the civil rights. And the way it was portrayed was, well, primarily Hollywood. I was just watching Heat of the Night.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie, but you can obviously see an agenda there, how they portray the South. It's not very sympathetic. Course, I don't know if it's like really accurate,
right.
Or something like To Kill a Mockingbird. These are movies.
Yes.
This is racial agitation. It's like Uncle Tom's Cabin. It ain't real. There's some elements to real, and given the narrative and the story, yes, I'm sympathetic to the characters in the story, but mm-hmm. it's just a story and it's pushing an agenda. Whereas, has there ever been a movie made about the South sympathetic or somewhat considerate of the other side?
Mm-hmm.
You know, has there ever been a movie made about the ravaging North going through the South, the Union Army and the bombers and the rape battalions that went in, the blacks that raped the women, these things?
This is
what happened. I mean, it's like, can we, but that we never get that narrative. So we only get one side. So we have this moral fairy tale, which produces white guilt. And then opportunism on the other side with the civil rights narrative, the cynicism, the opportunism we see now is because of that narrative. And there's been no pushback because people are morally intimidated.
And I think that's what was so potentially important about Tucker's. I mean, when he said on the air that there was no such thing as white supremacy, which I've said many times myself, he's the only white public figure that was going to say it. I've ever heard say it. Mm-hmm. And he lost most of his sponsors, except for, you know, good old Mike Lindell. MyPillow was supporting him, but almost nobody else.
When is that term resurrected, white supremacy? 10 years ago, I only heard it in the context of history.
Right.
Not and like it was now. Then it got resurrected as if...
I've written about this. I have never known. I'm 66 years old. I've never known anybody in my life that was a white supremacist. I don't even know what it means. But, and that was, you know, I'm talking about, I go back a ways when supposedly everything was so racist and it wasn't that much, you know, it's just, I'm telling you, I mean, it was behind closed doors. Yes. You know, my parents, all my older relatives, yes, they dropped the N word. They said, you know how they felt about that. They really pissed off at the civil rights leaders and all that. That was behind closed doors though.
Yeah, there's an element of that. There's a reality that one thing was when you're talking about all that, there was the reality of increasing rampant black crime, particularly in the context of integration, and particularly yes. in the North. And that was done, that was used as a weapon to break up the ethnic neighborhood. So basically you're blaming the victim. White, when you say white flight, you're blaming the victim. They're responding to something that was done intentionally. The point is, if you don't deal with that element of it, you're not dealing with right. the reality. If you're just dealing with the narrative of white guilt and racism and the way Hollywood portrays it, and we all know who controls Hollywood, right. Why it's portrayed that way. It's like, does Hollywood ever, has ever Hollywood ever made a movie sympathetic about the Palestinian plight?
No, never, never.
You don't think there's a narrative, a story there?
No, right. And then it's so obvious, the agenda. So that's why Tucker, when he would come very close to showing white pride. He didn't do that, but he was vocal about it. He would talk about black, and he would show, like my son, I remember why we were watching it together one night. He said, Mike, Tucker showed, like he was talking about various crimes, and he must have shown a dozen black mud shots in a row. Mm-hmm. So it was obvious because he was showing them. The point was getting across. And I said, I don't think anybody else would be doing that. And I said, this guy is really, he's getting bold. And he, again, that's it. He talked about the great replacement theory. And nobody has done that. Mm-hmm. Alex Jones, nobody. And it's a real thing. I've written about it. If people can innocently explain the anti-white agenda that is permeated all throughout society, again, but please don't, what are you talking about? Yes, I understand. This doesn't apply to the elites. It doesn't apply to billionaires. Obviously, there's no anti-white agenda that could do anything to them. But so it's about the average,
yes,
the white, poor and white working class and what's left of the middle class. That's who the anti-white agenda is directed at. That's why it's the relentless, depiction of interracial couples. Not because, there's anything, if two people love each other, I don't want government saying you can't, but it's forced. It's pushed relentlessly because they want to eliminate
also, white people. You have to understand the psychological effect. When you have the media pushing that it's cool and desirable,
yes, right,
a certain segment of the female population is going to follow the social cues. And also, the psychology of females is that they'll go with the winners. Like when the Germans came and they conquered France in 1940, a lot of women, naturally, they're going to fraternize with the winners, the males. So if you have media and you have in schools critical race theory and education and boy, white male masculinity being pathologized, being demoted and depriving them opportunities in the labor market, not enabling boys to become wage earners and providers for their families, it's going to have an effect sexually. Mm-hmm. It's going to you're going to promote all that, so you have a constant beat contrary to reality in the media. These things, they're going to push that and push that and push that, and there it's a way of cuckolding white male.
And
it's obvious because you can see it. Everyone's noticing it now, and then they're saying what it's like great replacement. Basically, it's great that they're doing it, but if you notice it, you're a racist.
Yeah. And they expect you, if you, and that's why I've said all the time, you can't have a situation where we are still the majority of this country. White people are not by much, but we still are. And the majority of the people in this country cannot discuss the subject of race unless it's to apologize for being white. They can't discuss, there's no discussion or debate on the discussion on race is angry black people, stupid whites that hate themselves, many of them Jews that are coordinating the entire thing. Mm-hmm. There's nobody there. And I remember as a kid watching shows like Joe Pine and things like that, that were my dad would watch, where you would have blacks and whites debating this stuff, but you actually had a debate then because you had lots of whites that were pointing out black crime and were saying all this stuff. And now that's not allowed. There hasn't been a debate on race since probably the 80s, maybe, on television. It's all the same thing. And it's Hollywood is pushing this relentlessly. And I watch these, I try to watch, any movie that's been made in the last few years. And it's just, it's impossible because they fit this stuff in. And you see the, with the superhero stuff, and I love superhero stuff. I used to love watching it with my kids. And, but it's ruined now because every character is black or woman or transgender. They're ruined. And these are traditional characters that obviously were white males. And so instead of inventing their own new characters, which apparently they're incapable of doing, they want to destroy traditional things. Like, if you've seen that Velma, that awful reboot of, and again, it has like the lowest score ever. Everybody hated it. HBO Max decided, no, we're going to really do it for a second season because they don't care about how many viewers are getting. Fox News will not care. Well,
their ESG score will grow up and they get more funding from BlackRock.
Yeah, yeah. They'll get money one way or the other. And their more important agendas, I've said this many times, are more important agendas than profits, especially in our crony capitalist system. But I'm fond of saying, I saw this commercial, my son laughs at all the time, but it was great because I don't even know what the product was, but it just made America look so bad. And the tagline was, "It's a mess out there." I'm taking that as, "It's a mess out there." Whatever that product was, you came up with a great tagline. I don't know how that sells your product.
I used to love it. There's ads for home security systems.
Yes, yes.
And they have someone breaking in, and the joke was, home security, there's a white male model breaking into my home.
Exactly. It's always a white break in.
It's like,
Man, if you look at those superhero movies again that I loved, and the ones, ones back, going back to the 90s and 2000s were very good, but Batman, Spider-Man, both living in what's supposed to be New York City, they've never met a black street criminal ever. They've never
I was watching it was a remake of Death Wish.
Yeah. Yeah.
With
Charles Bronson. Yeah.
Yeah, the original, but this is a remake.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Made a few years ago with what's his name? The guy who was in Die Hard.
Oh, Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
I guess he's the new Paul Kersey in the remake.
Yeah.
And he's taking on carjackers. And the carjackers are all 35, 40 year old white males.
Yes, of course. I don't think there is such a thing as a white carjacker, but if you look at the
they're 15 year old black kids.
Yes, exactly. But they, and again, this is why it's ridiculous. Why just stay away from the subject? Don't even portray street crime if you're going to be that dishonestly.
Yes.
But they have these gangs that they show in the Spider-Man and Batman movies that are somehow they're kind of Russian, maybe have the Russian accents, or they'll be some kind of white skinheads, or they'll just be like some kind of gangsters out of 1930s films that are talking like Jimmy Cagney. It's like, these people don't exist.
Yeah, there was an incident where that girl's beaten up by this black kid, big black kid. This little girl's being pummeled. There was a video they had taken
and probably sucker punched in the process too.
Well, they were just pummeling her, and and a bunch of black kids acting up as they do, unfortunately. Yeah. There was reported on, and the picture they provided for the news story had a white kid like with red hair beating up somebody. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's again, I don't blame. I blame nothing but white people for this because, again, white people have tolerated it. They're the only, and I say this all the time, is like, there's never been a race of people, and I don't care about the IQ scores or the Wunderlich test or anything like that. White people are the dumbest race that has ever existed, modern white people, because they're presiding over their own destruction, and they're applauding it and welcoming it. They're so scared of their own shadow that they're letting these things, and they're not, asserting what are obvious truths.
Well, their own principles and the supposed universal principles are being used against them. And, when you hear things like white supremacy, or you have, your rules are white rules. This is, well, in a certain extent, you're right, I guess, because they're European ideas. We created the country. It was an extension of European civilization, Anglo-American rule of law, these procedures.
Yeah.
Then people were brought in or introduced or allowed in or brought in. Mm-hmm. And the idea was, really, the idea of the civil rights movement was we remove these restrictions and then you all act like middle-class white people.
Right, right.
That's not how it worked out.
No. And they extended to math, grammar, civility.
Logic, civility.
Logic, all that.
What you're saying is that, in a sense, culture really is, and what is culture? It's a way of coping with reality, and there are better ways to do it, and there's more savage ways to do it. You can adopt this way, and you'll do well. If you want to call it white, that's fine. You want to, engage in monogamous, stable marriages and stay employed. If that's white, that's not African, that's fine. But you do well materially if you follow these rules, and you'll do well culturally. Their idea is, well, that's white, we don't want to do this. Well, if you don't do this, you're not going to do well. And actually, they did a study in the South, in the 1960s, there was a black sociologist in the immediate post-war situation in the South. Mm-hmm. And they did a study that the blacks who got married and started farms did very well for themselves. Mm-hmm. And those that became the bummers and ran off in gangs did very poor for themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's the same mm-hmm. pattern. And what they said was, with those who followed what we call white patterns of living, meaning European monogamous relation, that's one thing that was unique to to Europe, was the imposition of monogamy, that Christianity did, and that did it was a great boon for civilization in Europe, because it created social stability. Mm-hmm. If you follow those rules, you did well, relatively well. If you don't, then you have trouble, and that's the thing. But now today, doing that is acting white, right? It's white supremacy, the rule of law, civility, punctuality. You're thinking, yeah, you're insulting yourself, but then in a sense that. Right. No, it's culture. It's there's bad ways to do it, and there's good ways to do it. If you want to do the good way, then you're going to suffer the consequences. But demand reparations when, you know.
Right. But it's all the fault of white leaders, because they have allowed. I mean, if you were, let's say you're in a classroom 50 years ago and the world was relatively sane, and there's a kid that doesn't know anything for whatever reason, he can't get any of the answers right. So if he suddenly demanded really loudly, no, I want this change. You know, this is not fair to me. You know, this math and this all this stuff. It'd be like the administrators of the school coming in and saying, you know what, class, we have to. These answers are not necessarily right. We have to let him. That's exactly what our society is doing. Mm-hmm. That they're pushing this not instead, and everybody's afraid to point out. This is insane. Math can't be racist. Grammar can't be racist. Manners. I mean, I was arguing with some black woman on Facebook a couple years ago about free speech, because I'm a free speech person. She said, oh yeah, you whites and the free speech thing. And I said, what? I said, so you don't believe in free speech? You wouldn't understand. It's a white thing. It's like, do you believe in free speech? And of course they don't.
No, if you do the polling, people of color do not support things like free speech or Second Amendment or the Bill of Rights. They have less of appreciation for it. So what you're saying is, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, is a white thing. So basically, our propositional country becomes pretty much an ethno state.
Yeah, and it's
so their culture differences. That's a bitter pill for like liberals to swallow, because we think of universal ideas. You base that, you become an American, yeah. But it turns out that there really is a blood and soil basis to these things.
No, and that's why they're not liberals anymore. They're not liberal. They're. I mean, the people that I'm a classical liberal, and Tucker Carlson was closer to a classical liberal.
Yes.
Than any of these, like the Keith Olbermans, these insane people like that, or
well, there's no basis to their liberalism. It's like turtles all the way down with these people, because this thing idea is, I mean, there's all types of observations about the formation of the American Republic and what it stood for. And as a Catholic, I have a lot of problem. I'm somewhat ambivalent about the United States and its ideas, because they're enlightened ideas, and ultimately there's sort of a philosophical and also theological, anthropological error that sort of makes what we're dealing with today inevitable, perhaps.
It's a Protestant country, sure.
Yeah. But it was a broadly Christian country, mm-hmm. Under Protestant, you know, broadly Protestant, generalized Christianity, which governed things, and it maintained public order and maintained internal order.
Right.
Which from that you get external order. So you can't have internal chaos and expect anything different from the outside. The problem is in the 20th century, there have been groups who got control of the media, entertainment, the law, critical theory was imposed, which was dedicated stuff to sowing chaos, internal individual chaos. They call it liberty. They call it free speech at the time. But the moment they got into power, they shut it all down with hate speech. And that's what we've gotten today, where there is no basis. There's no moral objectivity. And when you talk about, you know, you're questioning logic and mathematics, all that's critical theory that's being implemented in the school. Critical race theory, that's the New York, 1619 Project, all the sexual nonsense.
Yep.
You know, this stuff has been sort of incubating for decades in this country, and
it's the white establishment that's letting it in. So it's there. And again, because that white establishment is disproportionately Jewish, but even if they're not, they are they're completely bought in. You just look at especially the women that come out of these universities, the indoctrination in the universities, it's so poisonous. The things they're taught. They're taught to hate anything traditional, so they get into anything they can do to destroy whiteness, even though they are white, And again, I try to, you can't talk to these people. I said, what are you doing talking? I mean, can you imagine a Chinese guy, great numbers of Chinese running and Chinese are terrible. Chinese are devils. We hate Chinese or Koreans or Asians or any non-white country, Africans, Saudi Arabia. I mean, this is unthinkable. Only whites do it. And they bought the indoctrination. They bought the programming. And probably half or more of America are like Moonies at this point. They need to be deprogrammed. They're a cult, and they just are. They believe what is that experiment? The experiment. I can't remember the name of the guy that did it, but when he put people in a room and discovered that 80% of the people are basically going to obey any order, they're incapable of disobeying an order from authorities. That's America. That's where we are now. 80-20. That 80-20 split. You see it everywhere. 80% of the people are incapable of disobeying an order. And they basically, the indoctrination and the brainwashing they're getting from the media, colleges, those are basically orders. And it's impossible for them to contradict this. So they absorb it. They hate whites, even though they're white. And they think whiteness is bad. They think they shouldn't have babies because there are too many kids in the world. And they don't care that Hispanics, you know, are having as many kids as they want because the propaganda is not aimed at them. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very complex thing. And I know I get into this stuff that some other people in the conspiracy world don't, but I think that it's a huge element. I think that's a huge conspiracy right now. Well, the great replacement.
Yeah. Obviously convincing women not to have children and telling them that's, you know, you're going to be free and liberated, delivered mm-hmm. under what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be dependent on a husband. You want to depend on a corporation?
Yeah, so you have
you can't depend on a husband. Since when you have to depend on people? How about you build a community where you can depend on people?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they, you know, no one is independent. I mean, look around you. It requires complex cooperation for just the food mm-hmm. to show up in the store every morning.
Right.
It requires cooperation and interdependence and you know, but if you're going to push these things like women's liberation and even education, they're going to have less children in society. You're going to have depopulation and something's going to fill the breach. In the meantime, it will be illegal immigration. Then you dissolve the nation, and these people that come in large men aren't going to believe in the principles and ideas which define the country.
Right. You know,
particularly the United States. And so so the country just erodes away, which dissolves, which we're seeing now.
No. Yes, that's what we're seeing. So it's a mess out there. Like I said, I think that's pretty much going to be my new motto. It's a mess out there. There's no better way to describe it.
Well, anyway, so I said I'd have you for an hour and a half. So I'll cheat a little bit. So I'll let you go. Go ahead. Promote your work.
Well, Masking the Truth is going to be coming out real soon. I know we'll mm-hmm. talk about that when it comes out. I'll let you know. Right now, I'm promoting mostly Substack, DonaldJeffries.substack.com. I protest. That's the only place I'm growing. I am growing there. So that's great. I'm getting a lot of feedback on the Tucker thing that I wrote today. So you can follow me there. That's one way to help. And DonaldJeffries.media is my website. Obviously, my books are out there everywhere. I had six of them. I've got this one coming out. I have a book, another book coming out later this year, hopefully another Hidden History installment. So people can find me, you know, I'm very easy to find. And of course, any support is very much appreciated.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, Don.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care, man.
Make the world go away. Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. Do you remember when you loved me before the world took me astray? If you do, then forgive me and make the world go away. Make the world Say the things you used to say and make the world go away. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'll make it up day by day. Just say you love me like you used to and make the world go away. Make the world go away and get it off my shoulders. Say the things you used to say and make the world. Say the things you used to say and make the world.